You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture readings today will be in Acts 16, beginning with verse 6 through 10. Now, when they had gone throughout Pergia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and praying him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your word, because we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
I was in Office Depot, and the clerk was on his telephone while he was ringing the person up in front of me. This is why you were sitting in the car. And he was talking to his wife, I gathered, when he said, well, just make sure that she stays in her room and she finishes what she's supposed to finish. And tell her I'll talk to her when I get home. No, I think he said tell her, he said tell her I'll talk to her when I get home. And he hung up. And I said, dealing with a child, right? He said, yeah. And I said, well, I always call them kids, with my teeth gritted, kids. Kind of that W.C. Fields approach. Don't misunderstand me, I love them. But as I talked to him, I realized life is such a challenge as a parent. And it's not just a challenge as a parent. You guys are having challenges today in your life, aren't you? I don't know what they are. You know what they are. I'm having challenges in my life today. If you're not having a challenge today, then you just came out of a challenge. And you're getting ready to go into another one. And they're not easy, are they? And it's my responsibility to remind you that whatever challenge in life that you're going through, that God will see you through it. It doesn't matter the extent of it, the circumstances that surround it. You may think that it's hopeless. I saw a sign this week that said, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Good advice. God is not going to allow His child to go through any temptation or any challenge that He hasn't already prepared him or her for. And it's in that temptation and challenge He promises us that He'll deliver us, whatever it may be. You just wait. Your rationale and your thinking may not jive with what's going on right now, but you just remember that Proverbs chapter 3. And it says, trust in Him. You trust in Him. He's going to meet your need. He's going to answer your prayer. And I don't care how deep it may go and how dark it may get. The darkest time of the night is right before the dawn. Let's pray. Father, we praise You for the comfort that our heart receives as we dwell on You, as we put our thoughts on You, as we remember that You are the sovereign. Nothing escapes Your sight. And sometimes, Father, we think that we're alone in this world and that we're battling a situation that is hopeless and that there is no resolve, no resolution to. And even You have an answer to that. May we always seek our answers and our comfort in You because of what You've done for us through Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, may we never forget that You are the epitome of love and that You love us with a love that's perfect and unbounded. Now, Father, set us aside right now for this moment. As we go to the Word, as we study, may we be built up in a faith that's most holy. May we learn to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And may we walk in a way that honors Your Son and our Savior. May we continually, constantly, forever and ever, have Him as the focus of our heart and our mind, of all of our actions, even the words that come from our lips. We thank You for this grace, Father, for we pray it in His name, for His sake. Amen. Did you enjoy your 4th? Didn't get to give a 4th of July last week. I thought I was going to hold it until this week because you always get a 4th of July type of presentation and you're just going to get a little one today. You always get it the week before, so it kind of focuses your mind and your thoughts for the 4th of July coming up. I want to ask you, and by no means is this question all-encompassing or definitive of everything that could be asked about the 4th of July, but on the 4th of July, did you thank God for the liberty that He's given you? And I don't mean just here in this country. I mean the liberty that He has given you in Christ. Do you know that in Christ all of your sins have been forgiven? That is a remarkable thought. And once the heart embraces that, once the mind begins to focus on the fact that in Him, God has accomplished everything that the heart's desire could be, you are free. You're free from the things that can enslave you and put you in bondage. You're free from the devil and the chains that he wants to bind upon your heart and your mind and your actions and your flesh. Christ said in our memory verse in John chapter 8 verse 32 is that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Now think of it, it's not just knowing the truth that sets you free. You shall know the truth. And it's the truth that does the freeing. It's not just knowledge of the truth. The people that got up in Philadelphia and read that Declaration of Independence, Joe, are people that we would put on the left side of the political spectrum. They are the people who, in my opinion, represent the Hollywood left. The liberals in this country whose main purpose is to deny God and the freedom that God has given us and the underlying foundations that this country rests upon. Those are the ones the media had get up there and parade across that stage. Now, those are the ones that you told me about, the Hollywood left. Now, I didn't see it, and I may, if somebody hears this and they saw it, and Joe's mistaken in what he told me, and I'm mistaken in conveying it, I apologize, but from what Joe said, he saw they were the Hollywood left who denies the God-given freedom that we have in this country. And if they could, and they are, busy at it day after day, they're undermining it and trying to introduce socialism. They want to do away with our republic. And even as Clark said, the head of the United Nations was there. And his comment was not to glorify the great loss of life that has taken place so that we can raise that flag and salute it and sing the Star Spangled Banner and praise America in song and praise God. He would do away with it if he could. Do away with our nationalism that sets us apart from the rest of the world. But you are free. And God has made you free through His Son and His shed blood. Nothing you've done. You can't do anything as hard as you. Even after you're free, you try, don't you, to be free. You try to straighten up your life. You don't do this and you don't do that and you don't run with people who ratty-tap-tap. That's works. That's trying to be free by accomplishing freedom on your own and not letting what God has done do it for you. You're free to do anything you want. in Christ. Do you realize that? Because God has forgiven all of your sins, past, present, and future. Do you see the glory that that brings in the life of a believer? Even when in the life of a believer, even when you stub your toe and you fall, God's forgiven you. That's true freedom. That's real freedom. That's what frees Paul so that he can do the things that he does. And we're going to see some contradictions here. We saw last week he circumcised Timothy. Just after we got through with the council that said don't have to circumcise, he takes Timothy and he circumcises him. Why? Because Timothy is in the grace of God and he's as free as Paul is and he can be circumcised. In a minute, we're going to see Lydia, the first European convert, baptized. We're going to discuss that too in just a minute. But if you'll notice, I want to focus here on a couple of things for today. I want us to see the activity of the Holy Spirit, and I want us to recognize the freedom that is given, and I want to make a correlation between that freedom and the freedom that we enjoy in this country that is slowly... Oh, I shouldn't even say slowly. That doesn't apply anymore, does it? 50 years ago we could have said it, but today it is quickly slipping away. Quickly slipping away. In verse 6 of chapter 16 of Acts. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit allowed them. Notice the activity of the Holy Spirit not once but twice in this. And I want you to recognize that the title of this epistle is the Acts of the Apostles. And probably... more often than not, it's commented that this really should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Rightfully so. We see the activity of the Holy Spirit in this book more often than any other. In fact, over 50 times is the word Holy Spirit referenced in this book. We see the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We see being filled with the Holy Spirit. We see being led by the Holy Spirit in this book more than in any other epistle in the Bible. The writer is Luke, and without a doubt, we can say that because he picks up where the third gospel leaves off with a more detailed account of the ascension of Christ. This book ends with Paul's imprisonment in Rome, and that being a part of the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. It is this book of Acts an expansion, at least in part, of Mark 16:20. It records the fulfillment of the Lord's promise to send the Holy Spirit, which we see in Luke 24, verse 19, as well as the answer to his prayer on the cross in Luke 23:34. A prayer which secured to the guilty nation a further respite. From the doom he had promised in Luke 13:35. Quick look at Acts. But we see throughout the book that this is always a focus on the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom is always in view, and we see this found in chapters 2, 3, 8, 14, 20, and 28. And the question raised by the apostle in chapter 1, verse 6, will thou restore the kingdom at this time rules the whole character of this Acts epistle. The action is at Jerusalem. That's the center and the focus of it. And for a brief moment, we may run to Antioch, but we always come back to Jerusalem. As in chapter 13, we're in Antioch. Paul sets out on his prison ministry, his first missionary trip. And when he comes back, he goes down to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. And they have their Acts council. We see that the Mosaic law is observed in this book. We see that Peter and the apostles are found continually, where? in the temple. We see in this book that Paul constantly goes first to the synagogue because, quote, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jew. Paul himself keeps the feast, Acts 18, verse 21, chapter 20, verse 16. He has vows, Acts 18, 18, chapter 21, 23, and 26. And he walks orderly, keeping the law, in Acts 21, verse 24. The Gentile, in Acts 26, takes second place. The Gentiles take second place, coming in after the Jew, but here we see them no longer as a proselyte. We see in this book the equipping of the apostles by the Holy Spirit. And we see the same equipping of Paul in Acts chapter 13. Turn over to Acts chapter 13 and look at this. And this is all focused on the Holy Spirit and the fact that this book properly should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit instead of the Acts of the Apostles. That title was given to it. It wasn't not by its author. It was given to it by the men who translated the book. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. In Acts chapter 15, we see when the church council completed their work, in verse 28, James said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And that's those decrees that were handed down. The work and the activity of the Holy Spirit. Now, the work and the activity of the Holy Spirit has a different context today. If you'll turn to Ephesians, we see similarities, and that's what causes confusion. In Ephesians chapter 1. We see similarities in chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In light of today's truth, the activity of the Holy Spirit, we see a sealing here. Same thing happened to believers before. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But sometimes things that are similar are not always equal. Keep that in mind. Not only do we see the sealing of the Spirit in chapter 2, we see access made by the Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 18. For through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Same thing pertained during the Acts period. In chapter 3, verse 16, we see the strengthening with might by the Holy Spirit. Same thing happened in the Acts period. In chapter 4, verse 4, one body, one Spirit. There's only one Spirit. Always has been only one Spirit. Same thing in the Acts period. In chapter 4, verse 30, we're encouraged not to grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom we have been sealed unto the day of redemption. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, we see that we're not to be drunk with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit is not to confirm the promises made to Israel. The purpose of the being filled and the filling of the Holy Spirit today is to set the believer apart in the eyes in his behavior. Not in some miraculous event that takes place to confirm the promises through miracles and signs. It is the life today. Now, you see this. I'll just hit on this quickly because I'm going to move on. But you see this in the division that occurs in churches. You see some people who are there today, and we're seeing, as we talk to fellow believers, we're seeing in a contemporary worship service, those raising their hands or standing up and swaying and being, quote, filled with the Spirit. And we see others who are not filled with the Spirit, put that in quotes, just sitting there, because that's a traditional, quote, type of service. What is it? I think it is a failure to rightly divide. It is a failure to realize that God hadn't called us to the hope of Abraham and the promises to Abraham, and He doesn't confirm them through the Spirit, these promises to Abraham, which He did when He energized them to perform signs and miracles through the Spirit. You don't see that today. But those who claim those promises want to demonstrate those claimed promises by those actions which manifest them. You follow that? So that manifestation, when we're filled with the Spirit. You follow in Ephesians here what follows. And what follows is the submission of the relationship that we have to one another. Husbands, wife, children, parents, servants, masters. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in us today. And that is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us today, is in how we work out and live these social relationships. God doesn't put a law on us. He doesn't put rules on us. Now, how do they deal with social relationships? Come back to Acts chapter 16. How do they deal with social relationships back then in the body? Jewish believers on one side and Gentile believers on the other. Well, they gave them some decrees. And it was good to the Holy Spirit that they should have those decrees. And guess what? They sent, look back up in chapter 15, verse 30. In Acts chapter 15, verse 30. So when they were dismissed, this is Paul and Barnabas, when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it should please Silas to abode there. The confirmation of that word was always in signs and miracles. This is what I referenced earlier when I said this was in part a continuation of Mark chapter 16, verse 20. You go back and study that yourself. God dealt with these decrees and established them as social relationships between Jewish believers and Gentile believers so that they could get along. Can you imagine how it would have gone if you were to sit down over at your friend's house and he was a Jewish believer? And he says, okay, Justin, how have you been? And he says, well, Saul, I'm fine. Things are going well in my walk with the Lord. Well, Justin, where did you and the family have dinner last night? Well, we went down to Titus's take-home market and brought home a little meat. You mean, Saul says to his friend Justin, Titus the butcher? Why, yes, Titus the butcher. You know he offers his food to idols? Well, yeah, but I've got grace in God. Why does that bother? Do you know that that food's been strangled at times? It carries blood in it? See, those are the first three decrees. Yeah, that relationship right there. Poor Saul would have to say, I can't eat with you tonight. I can't even sit here with you. Justin, I have to leave because you're unclean. You'll taint me. That's what those decrees set us, were established in order to perfect a social relationship so that Jewish believers and Gentile believers could get along. We don't have that today. We don't have to worry about that today because God did away with that. If you remember last week, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 and let's look at this real quickly, because there's another passage we need to look at in Colossians that ties in Ephesians chapter 2. We find true freedom. We find true liberty in Christ. Verse 14, for Christ is our peace. See, there was no peace between Justin and Saul. In that Jewish and Gentile believer, there was no peace unless Justin obeyed the decrees. They couldn't get along. That caused a middle wall to be risen up between the two so that there couldn't be one body in Christ. There were two bodies. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Verse 14, He, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. That's the decrees. This wall wasn't erected because of sin. This wasn't the type of barrier that was established because of sin in the life of a believer. This is a barrier that was erected in order to maintain social relationships. And the law has never worked in trying to reconcile the relationships of man. The only thing that has ever worked in reconciling the relationships of man is the love of God in the heart of man. God tried to establish it on a mountain when He set those Ten Commandments. What do you think that was for? Was that to save man? No. God's clear on that. If there was a law that could be given that could save man, this was a law that could do it. But its purpose was not. Its whole purpose was to show that man can't get along with God, much less himself, because he violates not only the first four commandments that deal with his relationship with God, he violates all six of the other Ten Commandments in his relationship with man. These four decrees aren't any different. It created further division. You ever thought about that? The whole purpose of these decrees was to establish some kind of social relationship so that they could get along, and all it proved was that they couldn't get along. But God wasn't finished with the nation Israel, and so He had to bring to the forefront the failure on their part. Not only could they not do what He wanted them to do, but He couldn't get them to do it as long as they were continuing to try to do it in their own effort. It's not until the love of God is in the heart of man that man begins to respond in the way that God wants him to respond. And we see here that once this middle wall was taken away, once these ordinances, not sin, but these decrees that separated these two factions, these two believing bodies, it wasn't until then that He made in Himself of the two one new man. Come over to Colossians, a couple of books to the right, chapter 2, and look at verse 14. He says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. That's those decrees. Wait a minute, how can they be against us? Why are they contrary to us? I thought they were given in order to perfect us. Incapable. Man's incapable. He can't do it. He's a failure every time. And every time you try to do it, you're a failure. You can't do it. True freedom is in Him. And once you give up that desire to try even to work the work He's wanting to work, you're going to fail. Oh, in the eyes of man, you may accomplish a lot. You may achieve great success in the eyes of man, but it may be not for God. Because you're doing it. You're not letting Him do it for you. I hope that makes sense. Christians, we try this. We do it all the time. We try to be God in the life of other people by trying to smooth over their problems. It could be a child. It could be a a parent, it could be a husband, it could be a wife. You try to replace what he's doing and you further accentuate the problem instead of letting him do it. Does that make sense? I see a few heads nodding up and down. It's true. You know what it is? It's coming back to this Proverbs. When we trust in the Lord with all our heart, it's not always all our heart, is it? It's just part of our heart. Most of our heart. And it's not realizing that when you give up, you begin to give God a chance. And oh, if we could learn the lesson of being there before we get there. Think about that. If I could just give up before I get to the point where I give up and let Him deal with it. What are you worried about? It's not going to work out the way you want it to. Yeah, I may be taking liberty here, but I think the problem that Paul and Barnabas had with Mark, I think that problem was contrary to what God wanted. Does that mean that God's not planned for it? No, He planned for it. That's why Silas came from Jerusalem up to Antioch, and now Paul and Silas are able to go out on the mission field, and Barnabas takes Mark. And God's not a divider, He's a multiplier. And so what God just did is He took two guys that were in the business and He made them four. Because He's not a divider, He's a multiplier. In verse 14, you're still there in Colossians, He blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us, contrary to us, and He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. When did that take place? Well, it took place back when Christ died for you. Before the beginning of the age times. And you were chosen in Him at that time. Physically, it took place 29 AD when Jesus was on the cross and He suffered the shame and the humiliation that your sins and my sins have caused. But He did away with them. And He, because of that and His obedience, has given us true freedom. You notice when freedom begins to erode and evaporate, what happens? Law begins to come in. And more law and more law and more law is nothing but a picture of less freedom and less liberty. You can't have moral freedom without a religious background to it. You know, our founding fathers, let me just give you a quick quote. Here's George Washington on his farewell address in September of 1796. He said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports." But you can't have, that's the end of the quote, I'm going to pick it up here in a minute, but you can't have morality that is that indispensable type apart from religion. You can have morality without religion, believe me. But then it's your morality versus my morality, and whose morality is right, it's what everything goes type of attitude takes over. Picking up the quote, he says, "In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, morality and religion." You want to see morality without religion, you go over to one of those Arab countries, Saudi Arabia, and you begin to read the Bible on the street corner. You're going to find out they've got a morality, but it's apart from religion. Yours. You don't have the freedom to read your religion over there because their religion undermines their morality and sets up their morality and it excludes your religion. You come to America, you stand on the street corner and open the Quran and you begin to read it, where true freedom and true liberty exist, and you see the true religion under setting up and being the foundation of a morality that we find in our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, and our Constitution. But you begin to undermine morality and religion, and the way you undermine morality is you remove religion. You take away... Why do we have so many laws today? We got laws coming out the kazoo. We're so... Do you know Friday was Tax Freedom Day? Do you know that? July the 6th, 2 days ago, was Tax Freedom Day. Right up to 5 o'clock before you punched out the work clock and you went home, you worked the whole year for Uncle Sam. That's just a smidgen of the laws that we have imposed upon us today, the ones that pertain to our tax code and how much we pay. We got laws coming down the road that's going to deal with butter on popcorn and Big Macs. You laugh about it, but you look at where they are today in regard to cigarettes and SUVs. Oh, no way. Where do you think seatbelts came from? How about helmets on motorcycles? Where does that stuff come from? It comes from a good heart. People who care about other people. I've gone too far aside. Let me quit with that. Come back to Acts chapter 16. Well, I'm not going to get to Lydia. We've run out of time. I want to come back to Lydia. I thought we'd get through even... I really thought I'd get all the way to the Philippian jailer because I wanted to talk about a couple of things. And I'll briefly mention them so that you might be thinking about it between now and next week. Real quickly, Lydia was baptized. The Philippian jailer was baptized. Philippian jailer was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. Lydia was a Jew. We find that out because she was at the riverbank when Paul goes over to Macedonia. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to put it in its perspective so that we understand right division in regard to baptism during this period. Adrian Rogers wrote, and I want to come back to this idea about being free. I read somewhere where a man named Solomon Pease died. His tombstone in London reads, "Beneath these clouds and beneath these trees lies the body of Solomon Pease. But this ain't Pease, it's just the pod. Peas shelled out and went to God." Pastor Rogers goes on, he says, "I like that. That's what your body is. It's just a pod. What happens to a child of God who has trusted Christ as his personal Savior? That's what happens. It's when he closes his eyes in this life, he opens them in the next. Jesus did not say, 'After 2,000 or 3,000 years, you'll be with me in paradise.' Jesus said, 'Today, truly, you'll be with me in paradise.'" That's, once the heart grasps that, the freedom that Christ has given us, there's nothing that's going to separate you. My life verses tell me that, and they keep telling me that, and I live my life like that. Nothing will separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 38-39. Grasp that. Embrace that. Love that. Realize that there's nothing, nothing. I don't care if you go off today half crazy, full crazy, cocked crazy, and do some of the dumbest, craziest, unbelievable things in the world. If you're a child of God, God's forgiven it. I'm not saying that you should. You've been given the liberty to. But see, in Christ we learn something else too. It's not just liberty. Because a free person is a responsible person. A free person is a responsible person. And the responsibility comes in the service that we give to the one who loved us and gave his life for us. We need to be busy about the service. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you as you bless us with the overwhelming, flooding freedom that comes from the blood of Christ that cleanses and washes. Lord, our life has been bought and paid for. May our hearts realize that we have and owe service to no one but you. Whether it's ourself, the world, or the devil, we don't have any claims. They don't have any claims. That's better. They don't have any claims on us because, Father, what you have done for us, you freed us. And we see, Lord, what a mistake it is when we begin to start shackling ourselves with laws and regulations, rules and decrees and ordinances, commandments. A true person is one whom the truth has made free. Once we know the truth, it's the knowing that truth and its application in our life. That's what sets us free. And free to do what? Free to give glory and honor to you. Free to live our life for your Son, who gave His life that we might be free. We thank you for this. We thank you, Father, for the picture of freedom we have in this country, and yet we're seeing how quickly it's evaporating because men want to rule instead of letting you. May we be diligent even about that activity, Lord, remembering that eternal vigilance is a price of freedom. And Father, bless in this. Meet each heart's need today and each family's need as we pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.